The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 to 54. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us to your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, many worldly maxims or sayings are false. "Might is right" is one of these false maxims of the world. But still, the world accepts it, believes it, and carries it out. Mighty nations of the world simply crush smaller nations because of their superior power. Big business concerns, because of financial power, crush weaker competitors. Man, physically stronger than woman, has again and again made sheer force his reason to enslave woman. It is a sad lot of many heathen women even today. Not the relationship only of nations, of business and of the home, has this false principle been followed, but even in the spiritual realm, the church. We have examples in the Passion story. Enemies of Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, were church people who thought they could get rid of Jesus by mere physical power. Pilate and the soldiers thought that they had the right to nail Jesus to the cross because they had the might. Even the friends of Jesus inclined to overestimate physical power. "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" was a question of the disciples. Peter especially overestimated physical power. He thought that he could actually help Jesus with the sword. Many people today have wrong notions concerning the use of force or physical power in kingdom work. Let us consider the folly of overestimating physical power. May the Lord bless a meditation. Firstly, the folly of overestimating physical power as we see it in Peter and others. Let us have a brief review of the circumstances. We have the Gethsemane scene. Jesus warns Peter that he will betray him. Jesus goes to pray, but the disciples sleep. The Saviour has complete anguish of his soul. Then Judas and his band arrive. Jesus had met them courageously. Jesus had shown omnipotent power by causing them to fall to the ground by the mighty "I am he." Then Judas betrays Jesus. A kiss was a sign of betrayal. Jesus is arrested. Cruel hands take and bind Jesus. Then impulsive Peter goes into action. We read in our text, "And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear." From John we learn that the servant's name was Malchus. Why did Peter do this? No doubt his prime motive was love. He wished to protect his master, whom he loved dearly, and he used whatever happened to be handy, a sword. Peter may have also thought of the boastful promise he had made on the way to Gethsemane, as we read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Even though his motives may have been good, his action was a piece of folly. Certainly Peter overestimated physical power when he, a lone crusader, sought to attack an armed band. The action of Peter was foolish because it was so hopeless. One man against a large number? It was inconsiderate. Jesus had asked him to watch and pray, but Peter slept. Now he embarrassed Jesus by doing what he was not told to do. Peter's mistake of overestimating physical power was dangerous. He could have caused the entire group of the disciples to lose their lives. It was useless because Jesus needed no such help. The omnipotent Lord had just caused the group with Judas to fall to the ground. Jesus could have had the protection of heavenly hosts. Overestimating physical power was great folly on the part of Peter. The history of the church shows that Peter was not the only one to overestimate physical power. Enemies of the cross have always overestimated physical power. They have tried to drown the church in blood. The blood-stained persecutions under 10 powerful Roman emperors. They thought to exterminate the church by the sheer force of arms. Julian the Apostate, dying, saw the folly of trying to use physical force against Christ. At his death he admitted, "Galilean, you have conquered." The so-called successors of Peter at Rome have made the same mistake over and over again. No longer having truth at their side, they sought to crush the opposition and drown the testimony of the truth by blood-stained persecutions. They persecuted the Waldensians, John Huss, Savonarola, and John Wycliffe. Persecutions, prison, and fire were the torture weapons of Rome. All the power of Charles V was thrown against Luther and the Reformation, and still physical force could not silence the voice of truth. Still, the world has not learned its lesson. There are always people who overestimate physical power and seek to use it against Christ and his church. We remember the communistic experiment in Russia. Atheistic governments seek to crush out all religion from the hearts of the people. They did not succeed. New constitutions give rise to many concessions to religion. Concerning the overestimation of power, we read in Psalm 2, verses 2 to 5. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in deep displeasure. The same is true of Hitler and many dictators since then. As long as such people remain on the level of politics, they seem at times to accomplish something with sheer physical strength. But when they enter the realm of the spiritual, they certainly overestimate their physical strength. Dictators drunken with power will have to learn to kiss the sun, as you read in Psalm 2. They should heed verses 10 to 12 of Psalm 2, which reads, "Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." It is also foolish to overestimate physical strength in the home. Many a man, because of brute strength, rules his home as a tyrant. Wife and children may fear, but will not love him. Physical strength does not give the man the right to lay cruel hands upon his wife, the weaker vessel. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honour to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Parents are stronger than children. Children at times need physical punishment. The rod will help keep the old Adam in check. We read in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13, "Do not withhold correction from a child." And in Proverbs 19, verse 15, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." The modern boy and girl needs more than the mere show of physical power to make Christians out of them. They, like all people, need both the law and the gospel. Physical power is good, a great gift of God, but it must, but it must not be overestimated. Remember Goliath, Sennacherib and Peter? Especially in the kingdom of God, overestimating physical power usually works great havoc. Let us see how Jesus considered Peter and his show of physical strength. Secondly, the folly of overestimating physical power as we should view it with Jesus. We read in our text, "But Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword.'" Jesus rebuked Peter, "Put your sword in its place." Christ and his cause needed no sword, and it is not needed today. The cause of Christ needs faithful confessors and undaunted workers. In this matter, Peter had failed. In this matter, he failed again in the palace of the high priest. All who take the sword will perish by the sword. Those who use physical force against the law will find the same force against them. They will easily perish. Jesus needed no such help. He could still pray. "Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father?" This is something for us to remember. No matter how hopeless any show of physical power, we can always pray. The hymnist writes, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Jesus needed no physical help from Peter. Jesus could have called 12 legions of mighty angels. Our text says, "Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" In the Old Testament, we read of one angel who killed 185,000 Assyrians. How much more could 12 legions have done against an ill-assembled band armed with swords and clubs? We read about this in 2 Kings chapter 19. "And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead." So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Certainly Peter had woefully overestimated his own physical powers, considering that the Saviour had such hosts of powerful angels at his command. Jesus wanted no such protection by physical force. Our text says, "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus?" Jesus wished to suffer. He wished to die. How terrible if Peter would have succeeded in driving off the foe. That would have hindered Jesus' work of redemption. This would have been bad for him, for the disciples, and for all of us. Peter and the other disciples learned their lesson. After Pentecost, they really conquered the world for Christ and his gospel, not by swords and clubs, but by the testimony of truth. It was the truth that Peter and the other disciples preached. Luther did not overestimate physical force. He did not attempt to reform the world by law or force of arms, but by the power of the word, the sword of the Spirit. We must learn the same lesson today. Scripture says in John chapter 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mere force will not build good Christian homes, good business establishments, good Christian schools, and least of all, a good Christian church. Our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. What are they? We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So let us use them often, and use them mightily, and Christ will give the victory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.